Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. You're going to be looking at verse 4 through 7 here. And the grace of God is amazing. Praise the Lord. As we study this book here, book of Hebrews, we find out a lot about Christ. Find out a lot about who He is and what He's done. And who He is to everyone and who He is to us as believers. Amen. And we find out a lot of truth about Him. And this book says that He is our great High Priest. And we believe that to be true. Praise the Lord. And as we study this passage this morning, we see that it talks about Christ and it talks about Him in comparison to other things. And as we read here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4 through 7, notice the Bible says this, picking up in verse 4, notice, speaking of Christ, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. So as we talk about this passage here today, as we look at these verses, just verse 4 through 7 here, we see that it's comparing Christ, and it's doing a comparison, if you will, with the angels there. And I'd like to start out this message by saying this. Nothing stands in comparison to Christ. Nothing at all. It doesn't matter what this world tries to give to us. It doesn't matter any of those things. Nothing stands in comparison to God. There's nothing that can even hold a candle to the person of Christ, let alone the work of Christ and the work that He's done in you and in me if you're saved here today. Hopefully, we all know that we are on our way to heaven today. Hopefully, you've trusted in Him as your personal Savior. And if you have not done that, then I would like to encourage you to trust Him today. I'd like to preach to you a message that I've entitled this: Christ is better. Christ is better. You say, well, better than what? Well, let's pray and then we'll find out. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today. And Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege that it is just to be in Your house. Lord, we don't deserve to be here. Lord, we don't deserve to have the life that we have, the blessings that we have. We don't deserve any of these things. Lord, what we deserve is an eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us and pay our sin debt so that we can trust in You and have an eternity that is settled in heaven. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know You as their personal Savior, they'd come to know You today. Lord, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that You would do a work in our lives that only You can do. Lord, I pray that You'd work in each and every one of our lives. You know the struggles and the difficulties that each and every one of us have. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to set all those things aside today and look to You. Lord, I pray that I would only say the things that You would have me to say, and I ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. I ask these in His name. Amen. Christ is better. So when we look at this passage here today, notice in verse 1, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, we discussed that this book starts out with God. Well, that's the way that that everything starts out, amen. It starts with God. It starts with who God is. In the beginning, God. And, of course, then it goes into His Son. It talks about who Jesus Christ is. He is the heir of all things because He is the Son of God. And then it goes into who the Lord Jesus Christ is, who He upholds everything by the word of His power. He purged our sins by Himself. He sat down on the hand of the majesty on high. And He was being made so much better than the angels. He hath obtained, He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Christ is better than everything. You know, when I was a boy, me and my brothers, we had a lot of toys. We had inside toys, we had outside toys. We had inside toys that were supposed to be outside toys. We'd get in trouble for those things, amen. We had outside toys that, well, they were made to be inside toys. You know, when you take your little Hot Wheel cars, and we had a mess of them. We had those containers that would hold like 30 cars on each side, and we had multiples of those containers. Can I tell you this? When they're on the kitchen floor, those cars do great. They don't do too well when you pull them out of a mud hole, though, because then their tires get all stuck together and all of those things, and you got to wash them, and Mom doesn't like you washing those things in her kitchen sink, not because I ever did that, just because of what I hear from other people, amen? But we had just different toys, amen? And with me and my brothers, it was always this way. Well, mine's better than yours. Now, a lot of times, because I have three brothers, so there's four of us boys, and then there's my little sister. Now, for us boys, a lot of times at Christmas time, my parents, of course, they'd have all the gifts around the tree and all of those things, and it never failed. There was at least one toy that each and every one of us, we got that toy. All of us got one of those. Different color or something like that, but you could tell Mom and Dad, they found this thing on sale, and they said, let's get four of them, amen? But even though it was the same exact toy, different colors, we would say, well, mine's still better than yours. Well, why is yours better? Well, because mine's red, amen? Well, because mine's green, because mine's black, well, because mine is this or mine is that. In all essence, they were all the same. We were just saying that they were better. Well, in our minds, we had come up with a reason to convince ourselves that they were better, and those competitions would spill over into other competitions. And one night, my parents were going shopping. Now, we always loved when we were left home alone, amen? My brother was a teenager, and I was a teenager, so of course, we were responsible. We could care for things while the parents were gone, amen? No, you go ahead, spend as much time as you need at Sam's Club. We'll be fine. Well, one night they decided that they're going shopping, and they said, okay, here's what you're having for dinner. All you got to do is put that in the microwave, and that's taken care of. And now listen, I don't want you guys fighting while we're gone. They'd always say that. They'd always look at my older brother, and I could not stand these words coming out of my parents' mouth. And to this day, they still send shivers down my spine. They'd look at my brother Tyler and say, now you're in charge. Oh, I hated those words. You know, it's just one of those things. Well, this night they left. And in my parents' living room to kitchen area there's this area that is about a 16-foot span there that goes between the two rooms. And about six of that that span there is a knee wall. In that knee wall, of course, it's about this tall or so. And we decided one night, I looked at my older brother and I said, I can jump over that knee wall. He says, no, you can't. Well, it's on now. Even if I didn't think I could, now I got to try it. So I jumped, and I jumped over the knee wall. So then he says this, well, I can go higher than that. So I'm going to jump over it, amen? So he goes, and he does his best, and he clears the knee wall. Well, we kept doing this over and over, and my older brother and me, and then one of my younger brothers, we were jumping over this knee wall here. No harm, no foul. Well, then my little brother comes, and my little brother was just, he was shorter, but he was also just built a little different than we were. He could not make it over that knee wall. Just couldn't do it. Well, of course, he's mad now. He's pouting over in the corner because he couldn't make it over there. Well, as we're having fun and all these things, we decided, you know what? What we'll have to do is see if we can put stuff on the other side of the knee wall, and you have to jump over the knee wall and over those things as well and see who could jump the furthest. So my parents had this little electric fireplace thing that was sitting in the living room. So we'd take that and we'd put it on the other side of the knee wall. And when we jumped over the knee wall, you had to clear that. And things just kept getting further and further out. Well, the lights pull in the driveway. Now the lights pull in the driveway. And don't worry, we were professionals at this. Don't worry. We can put everything back. We can make it look like nothing ever happened before Mom and Dad ever get in the house. Amen. So we did that. All's good. I go and I get in the shower, and when I get out of the shower, I hear this on the bathroom door. I walk over to the bathroom door, and I said, yes, and it's my older brother. He says, do not come out of the bathroom. Okay, and then he said this, Mom and Dad know about the knee wall. I said, oh, no. I come out of the bathroom. And it's eerily quiet in the house. And I hear my dad's voice say this, Sterling Ryan. Oh no, he used the first name. I go out there, and sure enough, here's what happened. My younger brother, who was mad because he couldn't jump over the wall, well, he decided that it was good to tell Mom and Dad who was jumping over the wall. He was innocent. Well, we all got in trouble and all those things. I say all that to say this. All we cared about is who could jump further. All we cared about is who was better at this thing or at that thing. It didn't matter to us what it was going to be. We said, well, I'm better at that than this than you are. Well, I can hit the ball further than you. Well, I can shoot the furthest the furthest three-pointer. I can do this and I can do that because I'm better than you are. That's what we always said. Well, when it comes to the person of Christ, we would like to say as believers, well, nothing's better than Christ, and that would be true. But many times, the way that we live is though many things are better. Because the things that we find ourselves busy with, the things that we find ourselves accumulating more of for no reason whatsoever, those things, the things that are taking up our life, if we're spending more time with those than we are with God, then we're saying they're better than Christ. It's true. As we consider this truth this morning, the penman of the book here is dealing with something here that we need to understand. He's dealing with a cultural and a religious war here that is going on. He's speaking primarily to the Jews here, and the Jews revered angels drastically. The Jews, in a way, worshipped angels. If you were to ask them, do you worship angels? They would say, no, we don't worship angels. We just know that they're heavenly beings. They would say they worship Jehovah, but in all reality, they were worshiping angels as well. Look, if you will, over in the book of Acts, chapter 7 and verse 53. Acts chapter 7 and verse 53. Notice the Bible says this in Acts chapter 7, verse 53. Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Now, what this is saying here is the Jews would say, well, we got the scriptures because of the disposition of angels. That's how we got it. And they were saying, oh, well, the angels gave us that. So they revered angels. They gave reverence to them here. We see that in Revelation, John was tempted to worship an angel. And the angel said, no, you're not to worship me. You're to be worshiping God and all of those things. And it was the beauty and the job of the angels that that they would faithfully carry out in those things. Though the angels are powerful beings, the Bible declares that Christ is better than the angels. That's what the Bible says. The Word of God declares that. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, he hath, as he hath by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, the word better is a key word in the book of Hebrews, because what it's doing is teaching a truth that all of us should understand. You know, no matter what the world tries to say, no matter where man tries to direct us, no matter what drugs or alcohol the world tries to offer as a way of escape, you do not need those things. You need to run from those things because Christ is better. You know, the world tries to say, you don't need religion, you don't need Christianity. All those things are for the weak. Here's what you need. You need what we say will give you peace. Well, no matter what they say will give you peace, can I tell you this morning, Christ is better than everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Christ is better. Hopefully each and every one of us, we are here in church today because we believe that Christ is better. Is there other things we could be doing? Yes. Is there ball games we could go to? Of course there is. There's basketball games. There's all these different sports that are starting up. I saw soccer practices yesterday, and no doubt there's many people and even many so-called believers that are at those things today. Why? Because they're not living as though Christ is better. You see, anything we put above Christ, anything we put in place of Christ, we're saying that that is better than Christ. Lord, help us to not be that way. You see, the book of Hebrews, it says that Christ is better. The Apostle Paul was explaining to them that Christ is better than Judaism. Christ came to fulfill the law. There's not some animal sacrifices that need to be given now. There's not some priest that needs to go and atone for our sins. Christ did that. He was on the cross. He shed his blood for us. He was pierced through his hands and through his feet. And right before he gave up the ghost, he said, "It is finished." He became our great high priest. He's the one that goes to God for us when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. When God looks at us, he sees us through the righteousness of his Son. Why? Because even though we would say in and of ourselves, we are righteous, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags, and Christ is better. Praise the Lord for that. Nothing we can do can equate to 1 ounce of what Christ has done. Christ is better. He completed the work. He's on the throne, and he is better. As we read the book of Hebrews, we read that it mentions that through Christ there are many things that are better. Notice, these may be some passages you want to write down here, but notice Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. Notice it talks about better things. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 7, it talks about a better person. In chapter 7 verse 19, it says better hope. In chapter 7 verse 22, it talks about a better testament. Chapter 8 and verse 6, it talks about better promises. In chapter 9 verse 23, it talks about a better sacrifice. In chapter 10 and verse 34, it talks about better possessions. Chapter 11 verse 35, it talks about a better country, and it talks about a better resurrection. Everything is better. Why? Because Christ is better. Lord, help us to understand that truth. So let's look at some ways this morning in which Christ is better. Notice, first of all, notice his name is better. His name is better. Notice chapter 1 and verse 4. Notice it says this: being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent, what's that next word? Name than they. His name is better. There is no name like the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? There is no name that's better than that. No matter how successful a man may be, no matter what they accomplish in life, no matter how many degrees they have behind their name, no matter how large their bank account is, no matter how much real estate they own, no matter who a person is or how strong their name may be, there's no name like the name of Christ. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our personal Savior, and His name is better. It's better than every name. Praise the Lord for that. His name is better. The Bible says this, if you need to be saved here today, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why? Because His name is better. His name is powerful. His power is found in His name because of who He is. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Because His name is better. You're not to call out to Muhammad or the Pope or some other man. No, it is the name of Christ, because He's the one that came and lived a sinless life for you and for me. He died upon the cross of Calvary after He was beaten, after that crown of thorns was pressed into His brow, after He was nailed on that cross, after all of those things, He shed His blood for you and for me, because He is the perfect sacrifice. And His name is better. His name is powerful. You can call upon the name of the Lord. If you're going through a hard time, call upon His name. The Bible says this when it talks about the power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in His name. Notice what it says. It says the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every single one of them, even the ones that say, "Well, I would never bow before anybody." One day, every knee is going to bow. Why? Because of the power of His name. Because of who Christ is. It says that every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the Bible says. It is the name of Christ that is better. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is what? Above every name. Every name. I want you to turn over, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. Notice, this is speaking of the testimony that a person has. Notice Proverbs 22:1, it says this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, this is, of course, speaking of our testimony that that each and every one of us should have. This is ourselves before men. We should strive to have a good testimony. Why should we strive to have a good testimony? Because we as believers, we are representatives of the very name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That name that is above every name, yeah, that's who we say as believers that we're identifying with. So when it comes to that, how are we doing? How is our testimony before men? The name that is better, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Apostle Paul, he was communicating to the Jews here that it doesn't matter what has been taught to them. It doesn't matter what a man says they need. They need Christ because he is better than the angels. Now, it's easy for us to sit here and say, well, I'm doing fine. I don't trust in angels. I'm not placing my salvation on what an angel has done. I'm saved. I believe in Christ, but yet we have our confidence in many other worldly things. There are many believers who are guilty of what the Bible says when it comes to this. It says they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Many are that way. Why? It's not because they don't believe in Christ, but it's because they're putting other things before the name of Christ. And Lord, help us. There are many believers who are like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals when we come to church to check it off the list. And when we know more about this past week, what's happened overseas in Ukraine, than what we know about what God has spoken to us from His very Word. Is it wrong to stay up to date on those things? No, but this is where we are to get our food from, spiritually fed from this Word. Jesus Christ, His name is above every name. And there's other things that happen overseas. Can I tell you this? They don't affect our everyday life. They're not going to help us live victoriously. But the name of Christ will. His name is above every name. Let's see His name for what it truly is. Lord, help us to see that Your name is better than anything this world has to offer. His name is better. Notice, secondly, this morning, notice His relationship is better. His name is better, and then also His relationship is better. Look at verse 5 and 6, if you will. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. You know, when we read this verse here, it's laid out so simply. The truth of this verse here is this, that there are angels, there's God, and there's the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels are created beings, and God and the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, they are equal, they are one, and they created the angels. And what it's saying here is because the angels were created, they are not equal with the Son of God. It says here that He's made so much better than the angels. He has a more excellent name than they. God has not said to them, Thou art my son. He has not said that He has begotten thee. They are created beings. God is not their father, and they are not His sons. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His relationship is better. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're missing out, because He desires to have a relationship with you. You may have pain, you may have difficulty, you may feel as though you're going through it alone, but it does not have to be that way. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's in your past, you can be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You can have the relationship with Him that you need to have. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That relationship that He has with God is a relationship that we need to have with Him. It's a loving relationship. He's given us a way to get to heaven. If we die and go to hell, it's because we refuse to accept that gift. His relationship is better. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And a relationship with Christ is better than any other relationship. Our Heavenly Father promised to never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible declares that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is speaking of Christ. And in verse 6 of our passage here, we see that the angels are to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you think about that, sticketh closer than a brother. You know, no matter what I'm going through, if I have a need and I call one of my brothers, I guarantee you they would do everything in their power to help me. Anything they could do, they would say, I'll be there to help you. And I would do the same thing for them. Why? Because they're my brother. But notice the Lord Jesus Christ is one that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, He knows our thoughts. He knows our trials. He knows our difficulties. He knows those things. Why? Because His name is better. Because His relationship is better. In the middle of the night, when we're just covered up with worry and fear, you know who's there? Christ is there. Because His relationship is better. You know, no matter what this world has to offer, we have a hope in Christ. You know, here in verse 6, it says this, and again, when He bringeth in the first begotten in the world, He saith, and let all of the angels of God worship Him. You know, we live in a world that is full of people that are living for themselves. And that's not something that's just new to this world that we live in. It's been that way since the beginning. That's why Adam and Eve, when they were placed into a perfect world, that's why they sinned. Why? Because man lives for himself. Man decides that what he wants to do is best. And that's why many people are dying and going to hell for all eternity, because they're unwilling to believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that His way is better. They're trusting in themselves, and it's costing them for all eternity. Lord, help us. Christ is better. You know, the world that we live in, they turn to palm readers and horoscopes and all of those things, Ouija boards and all types of witchcraft to try to find hope in their situation. But in order to have hope, in order to have peace, we must see that Christ is better than all of those things. Lord, help us. No matter what this world has to offer, Christ is better. We talked about last week how we are joint heirs with Christ. I know there's a lot of people who, as they live, maybe a loved one passes away, and many times you'll see stickers on the back of a car or something like that that says, this person is my guardian angel. We see things that are placed in the house, and this person here, they're my guardian angel. Or some people will say, you know, when I pass away, I will be your guardian angel. That's what people will say. Can I tell you this? The truth is, Christ is in control of everything. Christ is in control. The relationship that we are to have with Christ is stronger than a relationship that we could ever have with man. We do not need some guardian angel. We have the Savior, and it's the very Son of God, and He is better. Let's trust in Him. You know, the devil will try to convince you that in order to be successful, you must develop a relationship with this ungodly person, or you must get to know this person. Well, if you're going to make more money to sustain your family, you have to have this relationship with this person. And many times, to keep a relationship with someone, a believer will miss church. Well, my boss was having a party, and I can't miss that because he's my boss. You're saying that your boss is better than Christ. Well, I can't go to church today because, well, little so-and-so, they've got a basketball game or a baseball game or whatever it may be. And, well, the coach would be very mad if he missed his game. You're saying baseball is better than Christ. Well, I can't go to church on a Wednesday night or Sunday night or something like that because, well, I'm just so busy and I'm just so tired the next day. If I go to church at the nighttime, well, I'd get to bed a little bit later, and that just doesn't work for me. You're saying that your physical rest is better than Christ. You see, all of these things are things that one way or another, we all have something like this that we deal with. One way or another, we've got the devil whispering in our ears and trying to convince us that something is better than Christ. But Lord, help us to see that Christ is always better. See, the devil tries to convince us otherwise. But we can have a relationship that is a heavenly relationship with Christ. And that relationship is better than any relationship here on earth. No matter what it may be, because Christ is going to be with us on the mountaintops and in the valleys. You know, He's going to be with us when the seas are calm and then also in the middle of the storm. You know, there's a lot of people that say that they're friends when someone has money. What happens when that money is gone? Their so-called friends are gone. You know, Christ is with us when the bank account is nice and when the bank account is not so nice. You know, God is with us when we are in good health and when we're in not so good health. He's with us all the time. Why? Because He is better. It's such a simple truth that each and every one of us need to grasp this morning, because He is better. Not only is Christ better, not only is His name better, not only is His relationship better, but notice lastly this morning, His power is better. His power is better. Look in verse 7, if you will. It says, "And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" You know, we can rejoice in the fact that Christ is all-powerful. Praise the Lord for that. No matter what we go through, Christ is all-powerful. If you look at the different accounts in Scripture and the different battles that people were led into and all of those different times when they were following the Lord, it didn't matter the numbers on the other side. It didn't matter how small the number was over here. Because Christ is better, because He is all-powerful and they were believing on Him, guess what? God took care of the battle and gave them the victory. Why? Because they believed that His power is better. You know, I think of Gideon. I think of this man that had tens of thousands of men. They were going to fight the Midianites. And as they were going there, they had all these men. And God said this, "Your army's too big." "What do you mean my army's too big? How can my army be too big? We're going to fight this and we need to have the victory here." And God says, "No, your army's too big." So, thousands of men leave. He says, "Anybody that's afraid and wants to go home, send them home." So he does that. Of course, he says, "Anybody afraid?" And everybody raised their hand. Amen. Everybody went home. Then you got this smaller army here. They're standing there. They're saying, "We're not afraid. We're manly men." Amen. They said, "We're going to go fight." God comes to Gideon and says, "Your army's too big." Gideon says, "How can my army be too big? I sent all these men home. Don't you know the number of the Midianites? Don't you know what they can do? Don't you see the victories that they've had in the past? It's going to be hard for us to win as it is. How can my army be too big? But okay, God, you know what? I'm going to trust in You. Your will is best." And He says, and God says, "Anyone that that laps out of the river like a dog, send them home. The ones that cup the water and pull it to their face, keep them." So it went from tens of thousands of men down to 300 men. And God says, "Now you're ready for battle." They go into battle, and we don't read of any guns or any swords. We don't read of spears or bows or catapults or tanks or anything like that. You know what we read of? We read of pitchers and torches and trumpets. If I said, "Who wants to go fight a battle?" and everybody said, "I don't want to go," and I gave you those as your weapon, you say, "I'm staying home." Amen. But that's what God said that they were to go with. And they were to blow those trumpets and smash those pitchers, have those torches on the inside, and they were to scream, "The sword of the Lord," and of Gideon. And you know what happened? The Midianites were turning their swords on their own men, killing themselves, because Christ's power is better. You see, if God would have had Gideon go in with those tens of thousands of men, here's what would have happened. Because Gideon is just like you and I, Gideon could have went in with those tens of thousands of men. He could have went in there and absolutely annihilated the Midianites. And then here's what he would have done. Look at the victory that we brought today. But God said, no, I want you to know that my power is better. He said, I want you to know that no matter what man may say, my way is better. My power is better. You know, there's many things in this life that we're not going to understand. There's many things that we're going to say, I did not see this coming. There's many downfalls, there's many storms, and there's many valleys and all of those things. But why is God taking us through them? To keep in our minds that His power is better. I don't know what you're going through today, but can I tell you this morning to be a word of encouragement to you? Christ is better. And Christ cares for you. He is he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible declares that He changes not. We saw that He was powerful enough to stop the mouths of lions with Daniel in the den of lions there. We see that He was able to keep the three Hebrew children from burning in the flames. And when they looked in there, they threw three men in. And then as Nebuchadnezzar and his men looked in there, they saw a fourth one there. And they said, His form is as the Son of God. Why? Because His power is better. None of us have ever been thrown into a den of lions. You know, I know that because you're still here today, amen? You weren't lunch. None of us have ever been thrown into a fiery furnace. But they were. And you know what they found out when He came out of the den of lions and came out of the fiery furnace? That Christ's power is better. Because it's nothing that they could have done to escape that. But believing in Christ is what they had to do. He was able to part the water of the Red Sea and allow the children of Israel to walk across on dry ground. And that same powerful God that has done the impossible before, He desires to do the impossible in your life today. Whatever it may be, give it to God. Whatever it may be, the way that the devil is trying to discourage you, trying to say, well, this person here, they'll never get saved. Or this person here, they're never going to turn to God. This person here, they'll never be restored. Well, this person over here is here's what they're doing wrong, and well, here's what's going on in my life, and here's why I can't serve the Lord, and I've got this difficulty and this valley and all of these things. I'm surrounded by a storm. Here's what God is saying today. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Christ is better, and He's strong enough to bring you through everything.